The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is expanding guidelines that define who's considered a close contact of someone infected with the coronavirus. The CDC now says it includes anyone who's been within 6 feet of an infected individual for 15 minutes or more within a 24-hour period. Joining us now with more on this is Crystal Watson. She's a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Crystal, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the previous guidance was that a close contact includes anyone who'd spent 15 or more consecutive minutes within 6 feet of an infected person. In your opinion, was it a good idea to now look at the exposure time frame over 24 hours?
Yeah, that time frame, that 15-minute barrier that we had before was somewhat artificial. Someone can be infected if they have a brief exposure. It was really for operational purposes to try and define for contact tracers what they should be looking for to determine the contacts that were at highest risk for infection. So this change is going to be a big deal for contact tracing and public health operations. It's going to result in a lot more contacts.
All right. Well, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but I want to go back just a little bit and say that the change is in response to a COVID-19 case that developed after a prison employee in Vermont had multiple brief exposures to infected people over the summer and then got sick themselves. Do you know anything more about what happened there?
No, we don't have a whole lot of information. This was a brief report from CDC. So we don't know a lot of the context around that and why CDC is making that change based on what this one case example. So I'd be really curious to hear more about the circumstances around this infection. To know why this is informing CDC to make this big change operationally to public health.
Right. I mean, to that point, there's still so much we're learning about this disease. You have to wonder if one case in Vermont is enough data to make a pretty significant change to the guidelines, which, as you say, will affect the way contact tracing is done in this country.
Yeah. These MMWR reports, which is the type of report that CDC put out, they're really brief reports generally. And so there's just not a lot of information about whether there could have possibly have been different exposures within that prison facility to this correctional officer, whether the fomites, the contact with surfaces, could have been a route of exposure. So I'd just like to hear more from CDC about why this specific case example resulted in this big change.
Yeah. Okay. Let's walk through a little bit more what these new guidelines mean for contact tracing, especially in places like schools or restaurants.
Right. So now it means that if an individual has been in contact with someone who's been sick, we don't have that barrier of you have to be within 6 feet for 15 minutes or more. It is more of a cumulative exposure. So if you come into contact with someone for a minute and then are in contact with them for another couple of minutes later in the day, like if you're in an office at the water cooler a couple of times, that would count as exposure if you breach that 15-minute barrier of cumulative exposure over a 24-hour period. So that's going to cause us to really have to stop and think about what exposures we have had. It's going to make it more difficult for people to remember who they may have had a significant contact with, and how many people that may count for.
Should we assume this is true whether you're inside or outside?
Yeah, CDC doesn't make a distinction about whether it's an indoor environment or an outdoor environment, or whether the person who is infected was wearing a mask or not at this point.
All right. Well, yesterday, there were more than 1,100 new COVID-19 deaths in the United States. It was the highest daily number in more than a month. The CDC is also saying this week that the pandemic has caused almost 300,000 more deaths than expected in a typical year, which suggests that the death toll is even greater than the official tally. How are you interpreting these numbers?
Yeah, I do think there are a lot of deaths that have not been officially counted that are directly due to COVID-19. There are probably also a significant number of deaths from people who haven't had access to care or haven't sought care because of the pandemic. And so I don't think our official death toll is really reflective of reality. I think this count of excess deaths gives us a better picture of really what we've faced and suffered in this pandemic so far.
Crystal Watson, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Thank you for your time and your insight.
Thanks so much.